All right, thank you for that, Libby. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. We're not going to be looking at everything for the complete message. Thank you again for being here this morning. It is I Love My Church Sunday. And I will say up front, it's one of the times one specific time a year that we talk about stewardship. And so I want to hit this from that angle this morning. As we know, there's a huge difference between a manager and an owner, right? I think of a manager of a baseball team. He basically, the owner owns the team. The owner has people in place that decide what players are on the team. They give him the players. It's just his job to manage the players that are on the team. He doesn't own the team. It's not his responsibility. He's supposed to work with what he has that was given to him by the owner. The Bible has a word for manager. We call that a steward. Okay, that's what stewardship is. A steward is one who directs and manages the resources that have been given to him. He does not own them. And that is true, of course, in our life, that we understand that God is not really the owner. He is the owner, and that is because he is the Lord, and he is the Lord of our life. And so if God is the Lord and the owner of everything in our life, that is important, vitally important, that he is 100% in on everything in our life. Now, you say, well, are there parts of our life that God may not be in? Yes, but it's not because God doesn't want to be in them. Yeah. It's because God gives us free will. And if we choose not to let God in on certain areas of our life, that is not on God, that is on us. Because that is what God desires to do. And I want to look at that a little bit today. In the beginning of Proverbs chapter 3, it's as if a father is speaking to his son about important issues in our life. Like, if we want to apply it, we could say like our Heavenly Father would speak specifically to us about important issues in our life as well. And the number one piece of advice that he gives is to make God's word preeminent in our life. That we should not forsake it, and we should never forget it. On Thursday nights, we're going through a series on Proverbs, and Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take the truth that God gives to us and make it a part of our life and live it. And that's what Solomon is telling us here. He gives a few things that are very important in that area. Look at verse 2. He says, for length of days and long life. He tells us here that you will live a longer life than you would have if you follow God's word. Now, people look at that and say, oh, great, I'll follow it. I'll live to be 200. No. There's God's will in play. I get that, right? But there's a general principle that if we follow God, it's better for us in the length of our life. Yes. I heard the story. The guy told someone, he was telling a pastor, he said, you know, I am so convinced that God has a specific day of death for me, and that's the only day I'm going to die, that if I were to go and walk on the freeway in the midst of rush hour traffic, and if it's not my time to die, I won't die. And the preacher said, if you go walk on the freeway, it is your time to die. Okay? So sometimes we can speed up God's process, right? And but that's a general principle. Living a Christian life and following the word of God is just better for us. He also tells them in verse 2, long life and peace shall they add to thee. If we follow God's word, they give you a more peaceful life than you would have had. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like drama. Now, drama is a part of life, and you got to deal with it. But the worst drama in your life is the drama that you have to deal with that you didn't really have to deal with if you wouldn't have brought it into your life. And when we follow God's word, we avoid a lot of stuff we shouldn't have to deal with. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor with God and good understanding in the sight of God and man. When we follow God's word, we have better relationships in life than we would have had. By the way, I can tell you the type of Christian you are and the type of Christianity you have by looking at the relationships in your life. Now, you can't control everybody, right? Yep. Believe it or not, there are some people that just aren't going to like you. Amen. And there's some people that aren't going to like me. I don't understand that. I'm likable. At least I like myself. And my wife kind of likes me most of the time, all right? But I get it. There's some people, you try to have a relationship or whatever, and whatever, maybe they're not buying into it, or there's something that happened, they won't get past it, and you're doing your best. I understand that. But if you look around, you have problems in every relationship in your life, or a lot of them, then you need to look at, hey, am I following God's word? Because if we follow God's word, we're going to be better in our interactions with each other. And relationships should get better, not worse. Now those are great verses, and that's just the importance of God's word. But there's another thing, and we're going to focus primarily on verse 5 and 6. These are important verses if you're going to make God's word the preeminent thing in your life. They are well-known verses. And here's the key. They are the key to having God's direction in your life. See, all of us, I hope that your desire is, I just want to know what God wants me to do, and I want to follow God's word, and I want to follow what God has for me in my life. I don't want to miss that. Well, there's a way you can find out. If you look at the end of verse 6, and we'll go through the beginning of the verses in a minute, he goes, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, I am not smart enough to direct my own way.
Come on.
Right? Like we are so spoiled now. We get in my car, you know, it's got the little screen, and whenever I go somewhere, I just type in where I'm going. It gives me the directions, and I got to have that. We were coming back from something last night, and we were in L.A., and we were coming through, and I was on the 110, I know, and it said, get off on the 101, and I'm like, but I know the 110. It's like, should I trust it? Because it looks at traffic and stuff, and so my son was next to me. Should I get off on the 101? He goes, yes, get off on the 101. Trust it. And we hit no traffic. So sometimes I've got off and it's like, this thing is demon possessed. It just ruined my day, right? But we get this, God can give us direction in life. Our whole youth conference is about getting God's direction in your life for the teenagers. But it's good for us. What is the word direct? God says, he shall direct thy paths. That means to make straight, level, smooth, straightforward, pleasing. In other words, when God directs our path, he's giving us the right path, the good path, the path that would be smoother. Now, I'm not saying we never have issues, don't get me wrong, but it was smoother than the path we would choose for ourselves. I want that. I don't know about you. So here's the message. God wants to be a part of every area of our life. Why? So he can direct our life. So he can be the Lord of our life. You say he's not Lord? No, he is Lord. But we got to allow him that place in our life so that he can show us where he wants us to go. But we struggle with that. Today is I Love My Church, as I mentioned. So one day we specifically talk or mention about giving, what God says about it. But I want to hit that from the angle today, and it's not just about giving. It's about every area of our life. Let God be a part of every area of your life. And I think if we understand these two verses and what they give us, we will have a complete understanding of how God can be a part of our life and direct our life so that we can be the steward of our life the way God wants us to be.
Amen.
You say, well, Pastor, churches talk about money all the time. Really, we don't. I know we have a building campaign and we've done that. You know, we don't hammer on it, but God does talk about giving. That's one area of our life. But you know, in every area of your life, God wants you to steward that area.
Yep.
God wants you to look at your life, look at what he's given you, look at it all and say, Lord, how do you want me to manage this? Well, one way you manage it is let God direct you.
Yep.
See, we're not just on our own when we're doing these things. God's leading us every step of the way if we allow him to. So what are three things we must have complete understanding of if God is going to direct our life and be a major part of it? First of all, we must understand trusting. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Yep.
When we think about the word trust, there's a word that it is very closely aligned to that's all throughout the Bible. That is the word faith. Trust in the Lord. Having faith in God. When we have faith in God, we trust him completely.
Yes.
Right? In our society, our time, people use those words together. Trust is not an emotion, by the way. It's a belief that controls my actions. To most people, it is an emotion. And if it is an emotion, then you're going to follow that emotion. And sometimes you will trust the Lord, and sometimes you will have faith. But when your emotions aren't feeling it, you're not going to trust the Lord, and you're not going to have faith. It's not an emotion. It's a belief. And when I have a complete faith and trust in God, I'll do whatever he says. I will trust him enough to say, listen, I don't need to completely understand that. I don't need to figure out if this is going to work in my life. God said to do it, and I'm just going to trust that if I do it, things are going to turn out the way that they should. That is a complete trust in God. Most people do not have God's direction in their life because his direction would not fall in line with what they really want to do. Isn't that the problem? Let's be honest with each other here. Sometimes we don't want to have that trust and faith in God because if we do, we know that's going to change some of the things we have to do in our life or some of the things we should do in our life. And the fact of the matter is, we don't want that. We just don't. Have you ever witnessed to someone shared the gospel? There's people like, you know, I won't trust him because I know it's going to change the way I'm supposed to live and I don't want to do that. This is how it is. If we have faith in God, it's going to make a difference in our life. You talk to the average person, they claim to be a Christian. Oh, I have faith in God. I trust in him implicitly. You know how you find out? Watch them. How do you live? Is there evidence in your life that would point to the fact that your life is being directed by your faith and trust in God? Fact of the matter is, most doesn't. Most people don't. So what does this entail? Well, if you're going to understand trust, that means it's a matter of commitment, right? What is the word? Trust in the Lord. Here's a word we do not like. What's that next word? With?
All.
You know what all means? It means all. Everything. That's a tough one. I'll be honest with you. We're all going to struggle with that. We're like, wait a minute. All? I want to hold on to some of my life for myself, right? The Filipinos, I think we're going, the best class in the church, by the way, we're going to East Buffet. You know what? I know what they're going to have there. I know. I already know by the word East. There's going to be fish. If you've been here any amount of time, you know how I feel about fish. It's right up there with Ford's and McDonald's. I know. Well, Jesus ate fish. I know. And he healed people and raised them from the dead, and I've not done either of those. Okay? You know what I'm going to do when I go in the buffet? I'm not going to eat the fish. By the way, I'm not going to eat salad either. Let me help you. When you go to a buffet, if you eat salad, they make a profit on you. Yeah. My goal is not for them to make a profit. Eat salad at home, all right? But anyhow, you go to a buffet, it's like, I like that, I'm going to eat it. I don't like that, I'm not going to eat it. You don't eat everything that's there, okay? Now, the Christian life is not a buffet. Okay, a Christian life is, he says, I want all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all heart, all mind, soul, strength, all. That takes commitment. Let me ask you this, are you committed? We don't like the concept of all because we don't want to give up control, and I'm talking about me and you. What did Jesus say? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Because it's not what we say he is, it's what we show that he is by the way that we live our lives. It's a matter of commitment, it's a matter of connection with all thy heart. Faith does have an emotional component that we love God. Yep. By the way, that is the genesis. That's the reason I want to trust him in every area of my life, because I love him. And if I love him, it's because I know that he first loved me. And if I know that he loves me, he is the best father. And I know that he not only wants what's best for me, he knows what's best for me, and he'll direct me to what's best for me. And so I can trust him. In this area, really, when it comes to trust, we should be like little children. Now, most of them are clueless, right? Look, I've done it with pretty much every one of our kids and also the grandkids when they're real little. Like, you put them up on a table and say, jump, I'll catch you. They're two. They don't know any better. They'll just jump. And it's really funny when they bounce off the floor that first time. Just kidding. They're like, then what happens is they're trying to jump before you're ready, right? They're just like, hey, I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I could fumble the ball, right? There are errors, even in baseball. But it's like, because they don't know any better. It's just like, hey, I love dad, I love mom. They said jump, so obviously I should just jump. Why don't we trust God like that? Why don't we be like little children and just say, look, I don't know much. I just know God said it, so it must be best, so I'm going to do it. Now let's apply that to stewardship. One of the hardest areas where we have trouble trusting God and having faith in Him is in the area of finances. And I'll tell you why that is. Because in the area, because we preached a few weeks ago, money is a competing God.
Right.
Why is it a competing God? Because we attribute attributes to money that should only be attributed to God. And so we want our security in our money. Nope, security comes from God, right? We want our significance in our money. Nope, our significance comes from God. And all of those things down. And so it takes an element of trust to say, look, how does God want me to direct my finances? How does God want me to use my finances? Just say God, whatever He says. Number two, we must understand leaning. Here's why we struggle. Trust in the Lord in all thine heart, and here's what keeps us. And lean not unto thine own understanding. The greatest enemy we have in this area may not be Satan. It may be ourselves. Because I don't know about you. I wanna figure things out before I do them. How does that work? What's going on here? And so we do that with God. God says this. It's like, well, wait a minute. I gotta figure it all out before I obey. No, don't figure it all out. Be like the little two-year-old. You put on the table and say, jump, I'll catch you. They're not like, well, what are the potential things here? If I jump, what if his hand, if he doesn't see me, if I fall? No. They're just like, he said, jump, let's go. But we lean to our own understanding. That is why faith is so important, because following God goes against everything that common sense tells you. Right? Jesus says, if you want to find your life, lose it. That doesn't make sense. Jesus said to get, and I don't mean in a bad way, you should give.
Right.
He says if you want to live, you need to die to yourself. Right. So everything is in opposites. Everything doesn't make, you know, he says, your enemies, bless them that curse you. Now, I don't know about you. I'd rather curse those that curse me. The flesh, right? Someone cuts you off on the freeway, don't say, man, I am so glad they did that. They probably need to get somewhere. Come on. But that's how we are. So the opposite, and we have to have faith to say God knows what's best. What do we mean by leaning? It's a matter of relying. Lean means to rely or rest upon, to support yourself with. He goes, don't support or rest upon yourself on your own understanding. Do you understand that our understanding is, that's pretty good, understand that our understanding, it's flawed.
Right.
It's limited. And we have a limitless God who knows everything, and we ought to rely on Him. Because trust says we get that from God. We get it from God. But man says we get that from self. See, trust says I can rely and get support from God, but when we look at our flesh, it says, no. You got to take care of yourself. When we rely on something, we allow that to direct us. You know, every day we make decisions. Now, some decisions, it doesn't matter, right? What are you going to have for lunch? That's irrelevant. Whatever you like. But there are some decisions we make that have consequences down the line, direction and all that type of thing. And let's just be honest. If most of us were honest, we make those decisions without any consideration of God.
Yep.
What does this word speak about this? Is there a spiritual dynamic or component at place here? And we just get in this habit of I just think it through and I make that decision. That's a really bad idea.
Yep.
Look at those decisions in life and get God in on those things. That's what we do when we rely on Him. Do you realize how short-sighted it is to make a decision on your own? Because you're basing it on your knowledge and your understanding, when the creator of the universe, who has infinite understanding and infinite knowledge, wants to share that with us and direct us in the right path. That's very short-sighted when we do that. But we not only need to rely, we need to reject. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And by the way, it's going to be there. Because we're in this flesh and something comes up and we have to react, typically the first thing that pops up is the flesh thing. Are you with me? Now, I don't even know if this is in the Bible, and I don't know if it's completely true, but man, it sounds good. Someone said, if you want to do the right thing, a lot of times just do the opposite of the first thing that comes to your mind. Yep. Right? You know how that is. I'll show them. It's like, yep, do the opposite, don't show them. Okay. I'm going to tell them off. Do the opposite, don't tell them off. That's just how it works most of the time. But we have to reject that. And where is that battle fought? Right here. Love this verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5. These are all military terms. Casting down imaginations. What goes, you ever had a thought about something? Something's going on, and it's like all of a sudden the imaginations comes like, here's how I'm going to handle this situation. Come on. I guess I'm the only backslider here. Okay? Casting down imaginations and every high thing, like a military leader that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That thought that comes and says, I'll do this. And it's like, wait a minute. But that's opposite of what God would say. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to circle back and like, okay, yeah, we went around the block in our mind about what I shouldn't do. Now let me figure out what I need to do. And I'm not going to do what I think I should do. I'm going to put that to the side. And I'm going to do what God says I should do. But you have to reject that. Now, before we move on, the area of finances, right? When God talks about tithing, he tells us to give 10%. Mathematically, that does not make sense. Let's think it through. I can get by a lot better on 100% than I can on 90%, right? That's my own understanding. There's a spiritual dynamic involved, though. God says, I'll take care of you, I'll bless you, and all these different things. And so this applies to the area of stewardship. That's why Proverbs chapter 11, we looked at it on Thursday night, says there is that scattereth, they're giving out, and yet they increase it. Like, wait a minute, I'm giving away, but yet I'm getting more. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. I'm hanging on to everything I have, and yet you have less than if you would have scattered. And then he says the liberal soul shall be made fat. That's a euphemism for blessing. And he that watereth, given out, shall be watered also himself. The third thing and the last thing we need to understand is we must understand acknowledging. In all thy ways. Have you ever noticed in the Bible God likes the word all, okay? In all thy ways, not the ones you choose. In every area of life where God wants you to do something, where God wants to be in control, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. What does acknowledge mean? To make known, to show, to be recognizable. Now listen, get this. Everything that we do in this life, the actions we take, the words that we speak, the attitudes that we have, the obedience that we do, should show everybody around us the reality of God. It's not just witnessing. That's a part of it. It's really someone were to look at your life and say, wow, in that life, that's how a Christian acts. There must be something there. They must love God. We acknowledge God not just when we say we acknowledge God. We acknowledge God in the way we live our lives in obedience to him. That's like the person that says, I love my wife. And they never go home, they never spend time, they cheat. You can say all you want you love. Your actions are saying something completely opposite. And so we want to acknowledge God in our life. How? In every area of our life, we're acknowledging that God is the Lord. He's in control, and I'm going to follow his ways, and other people will see that. God doesn't need advertisement necessarily, and I'm not against that. He needs a committed believer. I've said it over and over and over. The best advertisement for Christianity is Christians. And we're also the worst. Okay? Is our life, could it be described as saying, listen, in every area of my life, I just want to acknowledge God. I want to acknowledge how much he loves me. I want to acknowledge how much he deserves my life. I want to acknowledge how much he loves me. Acknowledging him is not some verbal affirmation, although that's part of it. It's a complete life commitment. You know what? One of the greatest hindrances to Christianity is how comfortable Christians have become in verbally acknowledging God, and that's it. Right? You ever watch a sporting event? Come on. Hey, you just won. How'd that? I just want to acknowledge my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then the next thing is a bunch of cuss words. You know what they're acknowledging? That they're a hypocrite. That they don't get it. Look, no one's going to sit there, a guy who's dropping, I won't even give you the letter, dropping all these cuss words, but at the beginning he said, I want to acknowledge my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brother, they forgot all about that the second you started talking like gutter language. Come on. That's not good. Now, I've seen some that have said that, and then they talk respectfully. And it's like, there must be something there. Okay, it's getting kind of quiet. Move on quickly. Okay, that's the next point. We say we love Christ, but we don't care that we have a horrible attitude. Oh, I love Jesus. What would your boss say? Okay, move on quickly here. Is this not okay? We say we love Christ. We don't care what we put on social media. That's why I'm not following. Look, I used to have Instagram. I think I still have it, but I'm not following it because I want to have a good spirit. I got sick and tired of little vials like, God lover. You know, you might as well put 75th Corinthians 8:5 because your life's about as legit as that. And then their posts have nothing to do with God. And I'm like, I got to have a good spirit. So I don't want to see that stuff anymore. So I'm willfully ignorant in that area. Okay, but if you do put in your bio that you're a God lover, can we at least, I don't even want to look at you, but can you at least post something that would prove that you are a God lover? Okay. We got to go. But what are we talking about understand? And by the way, I get it. We're new. Some of you are new here, and I'm not trying to like, but I'm just saying, let's just try to get our lives to match up to that, right? Let's just say, you know, if someone meets me, they may know that I'm not perfect, right? They may know that I'm just a person, but I'm trying to go the right direction. And I'm just trying to follow God to the best of my ability. That's the kind of acknowledgement God wants in this world. But it means we have to submit, right? In all thy ways. We already talked about that. It's not a pick and choose thing. But you know what I like? If we do that, then we get the success. Yep. God will direct our paths. By the way, that's what he really wants to do. And God is not, I hope you understand my spirit and some of the things I said. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for someone that says, I'm going to go down this path. I'm going to try to go down this path, Lord. I may fall, but I'm going to get back up. Because I really, really, really want you to direct my path. That's what God wants. And God says, you'll get there. Now, if I were to apply that to stewardship before we finish up here, you really acknowledge the reality of God in your life by the way that you handle your finances. And I'm not even just talking about, you know, our giving or whatever. How do we handle our money? Someone has said, and it doesn't make sense now because no one, you know, says if you wanna see what kind of Christian you are, check their calendar and check their checkbook. No one uses checks anymore. Does anybody here use checks? Boomers. We talked about you last week. Boomers. I have a checkbook. I don't use it. It's like I had this thing, it's called, I don't know, the digital world. And so, but I get it. There's some things you use checks for. But so let's just say your bank account, all right? I don't even talk about giving to church. When's the last time you were a blessing to somebody? When's the last time, and by the way, and when I say this, we have a great church in this area. You guys have given. I was just talking to one of our missionaries and several of them, and over the years, we've given so much to help projects, not over and above our missions. We've helped people. And I know some of you, the teenagers that we had in our church that were here, youth conference, some of them couldn't afford their way, and some of you pay for them. I know that happens all the time. And that's a good thing. But But is there any evidence in your finances that, you know what, I want to acknowledge God in my finances as well? Now, what happens? God says he directs our paths. Things, you know, if I'm following God, remember direct. It means straight. Now, I get it. We have bumps and bruises. God's working in our life. But you know what I'm talking about, the self-inflicted stuff. Some people are over the map. You know, that's not really necessarily what God wants. Level. It's not always up and down. Smooth. It's not always difficult. Most of the problems we have in our life, the fact of the matter is we bring on ourselves. And it's pleasing. It's not discouraging. So how do we get God in our life? How do we get God directing us in our life? We have to trust him. We have to trust him. We have to rely upon him. We have to acknowledge him. And that happens partially, as we're going to look at today, in our finances. What do we do here? We'll talk about it in a second, but I learned early on, and I don't even know where I got it from. I was a brand new Christian, a 17, ready to turn 18, and I was like, I think I was 18, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm going to start serving God. And I went to church like 5 times in my entire life. And I'm like, I got to tithe. I get to tithe. I don't even know where. And unlike most 18-year-olds, I actually had a job. And I was doing pretty good. But it was just, I know somewhere I heard that, and I'm just going to give to God, because I think that's one amongst many of the things God was doing in my life that he wanted me to do. And God blessed me in a great way, in every area, not just that area. But I didn't want to have a life where I said, God, you can have that area, you can have that area, you can have that area, but this over here, I'm going to hang on to this one for myself. Because, see, I want God involved in every area of my life.
There you go.
And I want to be in on what God's in on, right? And when I'm giving, you know what I'm doing? I'm investing in what God's doing.
Amen.
And I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to take this challenge in a minute. But before we do that, let's bow our head and close our eyes. Let's not leave, because we're going to do something after the invitation. Is God directing your life? Are you trusting him in every area of your life? Are there areas of Christianity where you've thought it through and you're like, that just doesn't make sense to me, so I'm gonna tap out on that. I'm not gonna do that one. Are you acknowledging God in your life? Are you following God in such a way that you are showing this world what God can do in the life of a person who loves him? That's how you get God's direction. And God will lead you down this path. You say, man, where will I be 5 years from now? I don't know. But if we get up every day and follow God that day, 5 years from now, I know we'll be exactly where we're supposed to be. Now, let me say this. Maybe you're here this morning, and this is maybe new to you. Let me ask this question. Are you 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Because that's the greatest area where we really need to have faith and trust in God. That's it. Are you 100% for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven, or do you have some doubt? Here's the good news. If you have some doubt, that can be taken care of today. Before we have the invitation, say, Pastor, that's me, with nobody looking around, our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But Pastor, I'd like to know that for sure. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that, just put your hand up. I'll see it and pray for you. Yes, right here. Right here. Thank you. I'll pray. Two in the back here. Right here. We'll pray for you. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for those that are here. I pray for those that put their hands up that said they want to know you. I pray that we get that settled today. Let's all stand together. As the piano plays, did God talk to you? Is he working in your life? Is he directing you? The altar is open if you would like to come.